The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 13, verse 1, is where we begin today. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash, and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan, and Jonathan was his son, in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And I want you to notice something here. Notice that Jonathan's troops destroyed the enemy's fort. Saul blew the trumpet. Jonathan was a fighter. He was a doer. He was a worker. Saul was an attention grabber. And I'm not just saying it because of this. He wasn't involved in the fighting, but it seems like he wanted people to think that he was. Look at verse 4. And all Israel heard say, what? That Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had an abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. So Jonathan did the fighting, Saul did the trumpet blowing, and all of a sudden, Saul gets the credit. Jonathan gets no credit for the victory at all. Verse 5, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Aven. Destroying a Philistine garrison was sort of like shoving a stick into a hornet's nest and stirring it up. And so this thing is ready to explode into a full-scale war. And they were tough. You know, if you're going to take a stand for what is right, you better brace yourself and be prepared for trouble, because the enemies of good and the enemies of God are tough, stubborn, and ready to fight. 6. And the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed. Then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in hiding places and in pits. The Israelites lost their nerve when they saw the size of the enemy's army. They were outmanned, they were outgunned, and they were terrified as a result. Verse 7. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. And so they started to run away in a cowardly manner. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Some Israelites ran, some hid, and some stuck by Saul, even though they were scared stiff. When the heat is on, some people run. When the heat is on, some people hang in there, even though they are afraid. The tough thing is to see your fellow soldiers run away and then still have to hang in there. Sort of like taking a stand alone for the pure word of God when other so-called preachers and Christians are compromising it in order to get along with the world. Verse 8, and he, that is Saul, tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Now, back in chapter 10, verse 8, Samuel the prophet said that he would come on the seventh day to offer sacrifices and show Saul what he should do. In other words, Saul was supposed to wait for Samuel and trust God as he waited. So now, read verse 8 again. And Saul tarried 7 days, but the seventh day wasn't over with. According to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal. Not yet, but the day isn't over. And notice, the people were scattered from him, scattered from Saul. And now the few brave souls that were hanging in there were starting to chicken out also. And now we will see what kind of leader Saul is. Anyone can lead in the will of God when a crowd is following. Solid leaders stay on course with God, even if few or none follow. 9. And Saul said, "Bring here a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. Waiting 7 days for Samuel was a test of Saul's character. Saul panicked and failed. Instead of clinging to the word of God given by Samuel, Saul was moved by the circumstances. You say, well, he was under pressure. It was getting tough. Well, that's what made it a test. If it would have been easy, it would not have taken faith. Samuel said, "By the word of the Lord, wait until I come on the seventh day." Saul panicked and bailed out before the seventh day was over. And he offered sacrifices, which was something that only a priest could do. No one, not even a king, could offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 10, "And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. If Saul had only waited a few more minutes, everything would have been fine. Victory was right around the corner. Samuel was right around the corner. But Saul buckled under pressure and blew it." We have to hang in there with God, doing His will, even when it gets tough. Because a breakthrough may be right around the corner. But even if it isn't, we still owe God our obedience. 11, "And Samuel said, 'What have you done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you came not within the days appointed.'" But he did. "And that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash." You know, unexpected trouble came to Saul, and he jumped out of the will of God as a result. He panicked and he bailed out of God's will. Such a huge mistake, because the safest place to be in times of trouble is right in the will of God. We never escape trouble by getting out of God's will. We just sink from one level of trouble to another. 12, "Therefore said I, 'The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering.'" This guy is something else. You know, some translations say, "I felt compelled." Boy, that's a modern term in evangelicalism. I felt compelled. I hear a lot of that. And often, it's nothing but a pious cover for saying I did what I wanted. I felt compelled. Oh, that sounds so pious. So I was trying to say, you know, what I did was beyond my control. But nothing can force us to sin. In fact, nothing can force us to do anything if we're willing to pay the price for obedience. When it comes to obedience, we have a free will. It's not always easy, but we have a free will. 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now would the Lord have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you." And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people who were present with him, about 600 men. And by the way, David is the replacement that God has in mind for Saul. David is God's choice because he loves God. He wants to obey God, and he wants God to be the focus of everyone's attention. That's what it means to have a heart for God, and that's what David had. And that's something that Saul lacked. 16. And Saul and Jonathan his son and the people who were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leads to Ophrah, unto the land of Shual. And verse 18, and another company turned the way to Beth Horon, and another company turned to the way of the border that looks to the valley of Zeboim, towards the wilderness. The Philistines knew that the Israelites would not be looking for a fight at this point. They're not worried about massive Israeli troops. 600 were all that were left with Saul. So the Philistines divide their army into three parts to devour and destroy the country. 19. Now there was no smith, no blacksmith, found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, and his coulter, and his axe, and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks, and for the coulters, and for the forks, and for the axes, and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. So the Philistines made sure that they removed all Israel's blacksmiths. Now they're in control of this country, and see, by doing that, they, in essence, shut down all of Israel's weapons factories. Disarm your enemy, and you've got them beat. They can't come against you if you don't give them anything to work with. And that was the situation with Israel. The enemy can't come against you if you don't give them anything to work with. And the Bible tells us not to give Satan a foothold. It tells us not to give Satan opportunities in our lives as Christians. In other words, stay away from situations that you can't handle, or you're giving your enemy a rifle and plenty of ammunition. Stay away from things that you can't handle spiritually, or you're giving your enemy, the devil, a rifle and plenty of ammunition, and you've already drawn a bullseye on your back.